Greetings, dear friends, in the Savior's worthy name. The Apostle John wrote, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, unto the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us a kingdom of priests unto our God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. In the fifth chapter, he said, in verse 9, And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the scroll, and to open its seals, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God a kingdom of priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The Apostle Peter, you will recall, in his first epistle, describes those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ as a group of holy priests and a royal priesthood. Beloved, if you belong to the Lord Jesus, my Bible teaches that you are a priest of God, holy and royal, or a royal priesthood. That was our consideration during our last broadcast, and if you'll stay with us, we'd like to press it on just a little further concerning the responsibilities of the priest of God, you, if you belong to the Lord Jesus. Join me in prayer. Our God, we thank you for the great high priest, our Lord Jesus, even the advocate that we have at your right hand this very moment, the living man in the glory, your Son, and our blessed Savior. For him we give you thanks. And through him, and through the precious blood offered at Calvary's cross, we enter into your holy presence today. And we ask a blessing, Heavenly Father, upon every listener. Encourage, strengthen, and use for your glory every listening child of God. Meet their needs, Father, we pray. And save by your sovereign grace, save by your mercy and love, cleanse by your precious blood, everyone listening who will acknowledge their guilt and sin before a holy God and receive the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, by faith as their Savior. This we ask, our Father, giving thanks now, in his worthy name alone. Amen. In our last broadcast, we talked of the fact that every child of God is a holy member of a holy priesthood. And this has to do with our coming into God's presence and offering him the worship, the love, the adoration of our hearts. We'll not labor that point because that was our consideration, as I mentioned, on the last broadcast. But today we want to talk about the royal aspect of our priesthood. Paul describes every Christian as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, God's representative on earth. Peter, by the same token, describes us as a priest, royal and holy. Now, as a royal priesthood, we represent the God of heaven to men on earth. Further, we present the God of heaven to lost men. We do it, as has been said, by life and by lip. That is, by the way we live, as well as by our witness. By the way we conduct our lives, as well as by what we say. And not only do we represent God here and present God here to these lost folks, but it is our privilege to intercede for them in prayer as we go to God the Father through the Lord Jesus. If you were with us in previous broadcasts when we considered the Levitical priesthood, Aaron, their first high priest, you will recall that he and his sons, their descendants, they had the work of intercession when they would go into the tabernacle, and there they would intercede between man and God. The Lord Jesus does that today as our advocate, as we just mentioned, as he goes before the Father in behalf of us, by virtue of his shed blood. By the same token, those of us living today who are saved by the grace of God, cleansed by that precious blood, we are priests, royal and holy. And as royal priests, it's our obligation, it's our holy privilege to go into God's presence in the Holy of Holies and speak to him in behalf of those out of Christ. Friend, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you are a true child of God, my Bible says, God says you are a priest. I hope you're not like one of old who was a dumb priest, whose mouth could not be opened. Friend of mine, we need to open our mouths and let God, through the Holy Spirit, speak the truths, the pure riches of God's grace to a lost, ungodly world that's dying without a knowledge of sins forgiven by the precious blood of Christ. Friend, if you're in Christ, by your association with the great high priest, the Lord Jesus, he has left you here for a priestly ministry. And now, by the virtue of his indwelling power, the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, go out and live like a priest ought to live. For those listening to the broadcast today, those who are out of Christ, those who are unsaved, those who, by the description of Almighty God's Word, ungodly, you might rebel at that terminology, but that's what the Bible says, we're without God or ungodly. A heated room is simply a room without heat. It's an unheated room. A room that does not have any light in it, it's an unlighted room or a room without light. And if you're an individual without God, without Christ, you're ungodly. You're without him. You're not a priest, and you cannot worship. You cannot come into God's presence and praise him and love him because you don't know him. You're without him. Nor can you intercede or have the assurance from the Word of God that your prayers are answered until you become a priest instead of a rebel, and you're simply fitted for destruction. Without God, without Christ, you are not a priest. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we read the story of King Uzziah. And he wasn't a priest, he was a king. And yet, he usurped the authority of the priest, and he went into the holy place, into the temple, to burn incense upon the golden altar of incense. This he did, usurping the authority, even though he was the king. He wasn't a priest. And as he went in, the scripture tells us that Azariah, the priest, went in after him. And also 80 other priests went with him. Now, Azariah was the chief priest. And they withstood the king. These fellows weren't compromisers, were they? They went right up to the king and they said, listen, O king, you don't have any right to be in here. This is a privilege and an honor. This is a right and a position given only to the ordained priest, to those that God has recognized, and you have usurped that authority. You know what? The king got angry. And I imagine, had not it been for the intervention of God, he would have disciplined those men, maybe put them to death, I don't know. But as he became angry, the scriptures tell us that leprosy broke out in his forehead. He had to be ushered out of the holy place in the temple. And he had to spend the rest of his life separated from the family. His son had to step up and represent his father and take the king's place. Because of usurping the authority, because of transgressing the commandments of God, the king broke out with leprosy because he tried to be a priest when he was not authorized to do so. And friend of mine, if you've been trying to worship Almighty God and have never come to God through Christ, by way of the cross, through the precious blood that was shed at Calvary, friend of mine, you too are a counterfeit. You too are an usurper of authority. You too are a make-believe priest. You too are a false priest. And you need to acknowledge that what the Bible says about you is true. Pardon, Lord, I'm guilty. Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm deserving of your wrath. And I throw myself at the mercy of yourself and plead the grace of God. Lord, forgive me for Christ's sake as I trust him and accept him as my Savior. I'd like to comment, too, about the clothing of the priest. First of all, the Old Testament great high priest, as we find him, Aaron and Azariah, others, they wore a very elaborate, a very ornate arrangement from head to toe. On their head, they had a headdress or a mitre, and it had a golden plate upon it. And this plate was inscribed, Holiness to the Lord. Also, they had onyx stones upon their shoulders, and these were engraved with the names of the children of Israel. And from the onyx stones, there were two golden chains holding the breastplate worn by the high priest, and in this breastplate there were 12 precious stones. They wore a blue robe that was overlaid with an ephod or a covering of gold, and it had blue, purple, and scarlet on it. It was fringed at the bottom with multicolored pomegranates and golden bells. pardon, a very striking garment indeed. This man could never be mistaken for someone else when dressed in the priest attire. But let's think for a few moments about the great high priest, the Lord Jesus. And if we talk about the clothing that he wore, well, we have to look at him in several different time periods. For example, we must first of all see him as the eternal God, the eternal creator, the one who is without equal. For our God, the Lord Jesus, has always existed. There never was a time when he began. True, he did become a child, but he was always the eternal Son. And so we have to see him, first of all of his past splendor, his royal attire as the eternal God omnipotent, reigner from eternity past. But then when we step into this world, we read from the scriptures that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And we see him as a babe of Bethlehem's manger, cradled in his mother's arms, wrapped in a blanket. As a young boy, we see him attired in the clothing of a peasant, working about the carpenter shop of Joseph. We see him another time upon a cross, stripped of his seamless garment, hanging there in shame, shrouded in death. They laid him in that tomb and wrapped him in burial clothes in another man's tomb. He's certainly upon the cross, or even in that carpenter shop. He never looked like a king, and he certainly didn't have the appearance of the high priest. But on resurrection morn, that all began to change. For even his disciples didn't recognize him. And today, bless God, the resurrected, ascended, and glorified Christ is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. A little poem entitled, "This is the True God," sums it all up in the last verse, where it says, "The throne on which he now appears was his from everlasting years. But a new glory crowns his brow, and every knee to him shall bow." That's the way he's glorified. That's the way he is clothed today. That's the way he's recognized. You can read about him, if you will, in the book of the Revelation. And we'll sing unto him who loved us and loosed us from our sins by his own blood and made us unto our God kings and priests. But what about the priest today? Those of us who are living at this very moment, described and declared by Almighty God to be his royal priesthood. How are we dressed? Well, let me read to you, if I may, from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God." Listen, "for he hath clothed me," bless his worthy name, "with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Yes, he hath clothed us with the garments of salvation, and he has given us a beautiful robe of his own righteousness, for we have none of our own. Ephesians 6 tells us that he also outfits us and equips us with the Christian armor. And furthermore, he graces our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Friend of mine, we don't have to wear a clerical robe to be recognized as a priest of God. People should be able to see, because we belong to the Lord Jesus, that he has clothed us with a robe of righteousness. He has given us the robe of salvation. And because of this, we can evidence that we belong to the Lord Jesus by the fruit of the Spirit. Friend of mine, if you don't have this robe of righteousness, it can be yours today by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus. Amen.